Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. Big Z here. The Detroit Lions have come off another horrifying loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Another Hail Mary. Oh, God. Anyways, the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers this week discuss that game. A few players that stood out, and, well, we wish others that didn't for reasons we'd rather not speak of at this moment. But then we also discuss a little bit about next week's game, what to look forward to. We also want to throw out there, next week we will be doing our first live episode. What better way to do a season finale of sorts? Next week we'll be talking about the season as a whole, the grades on each player and position, and what to look forward to in the off season. It'll be a season finale of sorts. So please stay tuned for that. We want to thank everybody for listening. We always truly appreciate it. And we're sorry for the short week this week on the recording. But we'll make it up to you next week, we swear. But please enjoy listening. Listen, subscribe, share. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Go Lions! Now here's the podcast.
This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast where lifelong Lions fans,
UJ,
Rud Dog,
Bob,
Connor,
talk about your favorite team, the Detroit Lions, where victory isn't just talked about, it's earned. One pride. Let's get this podcast rolling. Well, welcome back, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. It is December 26th, noon on a Wednesday. The Lions coming off a 27-9 loss at home against the Minnesota Vikings. We apologize for the late podcast again, but we just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, podcast fans.
And a Happy New Year to all our subscribers.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year. And we're hoping it's going to be a great New Year for the Lions, because this has been another disaster the last few weeks, especially with the season over and everything like that. Matt Stafford getting benched late in this game, probably for precautionary health reasons.
Yeah, and getting boos from the home crowd.
Yeah.
Deserved, well-earned. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Stafford in this game, 18 of 32, 116 yards. He averaged 3.6 yards an attempt, which is just awful in almost every way. He only got sacked twice this week, though. He got sacked 11 times last time we played the Vikings. So, moral victories are abound for the Lions fans this time of year.
Hashtag progress.
Well, we always like to say the Lions are leading the league in moral victories since 2000.
This season didn't even really seem to have very many of those.
Yeah, those are even coming in short supply.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
Well, I'll tell you one moral victory that I like from this game, and we want to see more of him, please. Zach Zenner, he only got eight carries for 45 yards, averaged 5.6 yards a carry. He's averaging over 5 yards to carry this season alone. LeGarrette Blount, 11 carries for 29 yards as he just continues to meander around in the backfield. Do you guys have any explanation why they're doing why they're giving LeGarrette Blount more carries when Zetter is clearly the better option in the backfield?
Yeah, well, we have a better chance of getting greedy next year if we keep running Blount.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
we're on that top five draft pick. I mean,
well, I'll put that in because actually that's a good segue there, Bob. Because that was UJ couldn't make it today, and that was his one mail-in question. Is this a secret plan by the organization? You know, they don't want to tank overtly, So are they tanking subtly by just playing their worst players in the positions where they have better players?
Yeah.
I mean, they might be. They might be. That's
I mean, I think they know the season's over. There's so many injuries piling up. It can't hurt to get that top five pick. Right. You don't want to openly admit that. So, you know, might as well start Blunt. He's going to be gone next year, so why not just throw him in the backfield?
Maybe save Zenner for next year. He's clearly showing a pep in his step since he was out of the league there for a minute and got transformed his body. So, hey.
Yeah, he's doing the most he could with his opportunity, which is good. So
yeah, it's exciting because I thought he always could, and he got like such small opportunities in the past. But now he's just really showing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so focusing on this game still, it was just so upsetting. The Lions, again, they had started off this game phenomenally. It's hard to believe the Lions at the end of the first half were losing this game, considering how much they dominated the first half for the most part. But their offense could not finish any drive whatsoever, which is kind of a Jim Bob Cooter staple at this point. Between the 20s, it really good, and then fall apart near the red zone.
We still can't cover the Hail Mary, you know.
Well, that's another point I wanted to get to as well. It's incredible. This was really bad because none of our players even jumped in the air for the ball.
Yeah,
I know. How do you give up a Hail Mary like that? That should be the easiest thing to defend.
How do you give up a Hail Mary like that after you already gave up a Hail Mary like that before? Like,
I know.
How do you get burned twice by that? Like, ow!
I'm surprised we didn't see Kenny Golladay out there on the Hail Mary defense as well. Usually you see a lot of teams putting their best, tallest athletes out there, and Galladay's clearly that.
Not to mention... Yeah. You just notice, like, when the guy jumps up for the ball, was it Rudolph, right?
Yeah.
And he goes up for the ball, and I just couldn't help but think, oh, all those guys are so small all around him. Like, I don't know if anyone on our defense was capable of even getting to where the ball was there. Like,
and they were all in awe, like, wow, that guy's so tall. And they couldn't even jump. They were so in awe.
Wow.
And that's an indictment on Patricia, I feel like, not putting the right personnel out there.
Yeah, Patricia definitely does not escape blame this year. There's no way – I mean, I know it's his first year, but there's no way you can – I'm at this point where he has a lot to prove going into next season, especially since he couldn't even get this team to fight for him towards the end. I thought that was the one thing I wanted to see, was this him get this – find a way to rally this team, you know, in a lost season to sort of show up and play. And, I mean, well, he got the defense going anyway. Defense, at least for the first half up till that broken play by Slay, was just playing the best game I think I've seen out of our defense since that year we had DeAndre Levy. And we were, like, the top two defense.
And, yeah, but they couldn't play a complete game.
No, they didn't.
So it fell apart, unfortunately. Well, it might have helped if we could have got some of those red zone conversions.
True.
You know, and had a lead. I think that Hail Mary kind of really took the wind out of the sails for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those are the type of big plays that decide football games usually. It's very disappointing. We should also note that the Lions have one Pro Bowler this year, Darius Slay. I'm very shocked that Snacks Harrison did not get a Pro Bowl nod in some respect because he has been – transformative on the defensive line. If anything, I thought Snacks deserved it over Darius Slay, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
He tweeted about it, too. He's like, what more do I have to do to get a Pro Bowl bid? And everyone's like, I agree.
Yeah. I was glad Slay got it. I mean, I wish Snacks would have gotten it, too, but I didn't think Slay was
I wonder if it's at, like, if it's at, like, because he wasn't on the team the whole season or something, they just don't really give him all the credit.
But you gotta take his time with the Giants into account too when deciding that. Like, he still played a game all year.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Lions defense did give up, and this is also something that's going to be had to work on in the offseason as well. The Lions as a defense this year, they are the worst in the league or second worst in the league, I believe. Completion percentage against their defense. Patricia really likes these bend don't break type defenses where they'll let the team throw it underneath, and you need a good sound tackling, good fundamental team, to make those plays, but at some point it hurt you. And in this game, I thought it hurt him a little bit. Kirk Cousins was 21 of 28 for 253 yards. Oddly enough, Kirk Cousins is one of the historically career-wise, like, highest percentage completing passers.
Yeah.
Which is kind of I was just kind of surprised considering he hasn't done much. But maybe it's like he's thrown a lot of underneath routes and stuff in his career. But
they say, though, I mean, you see he throws it deep too. I was surprised with that too, Big Z. I think as far as our defense is concerned, I think it was still that lack of personnel that we always knew coming into the season, you know. Like, we were expecting the defense to be the thing holding this team back, not the offense. And I think they did an admirable job this season, but there's no doubt, like you said, that needs to be corrected going into next year. You need at least playmakers, because, like, that underneath type thing, that bend don't break, you need someone who can take the ball away from time to time in order to make that really effective.
Yeah, I'm less impressed with the defense this year than you are, but I do see it kind of coming together, what Patricia's trying to do. And I agree, that's the biggest thing is just talent. We need more playmakers.
I don't really like the amount of man-to-man we see. I wish we'd see more, you know, zone coverage, because I feel like that's part of what's hurting our turnovers. It's like, we're not getting that many picks, and we're definitely not getting that many fumbles.
Mm.
And it's like, the top offenses, like, their defenses aren't always good, but at least their defenses are generating turnovers. So,
right.
Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like we need to be generating a lot more turnovers.
We were a little bit, I feel like, in the early parts of the season, but it kind of really disappeared. No,
yeah, I agree.
But I think you need someone, and as far as completion percentage too, you got to have someone who can get to the passer, like, you know, on a somewhat regular basis. And, I mean, I guess Okwara started, kind of became that guy, but he wasn't like – it wasn't like he was just getting consistent pressure either. You know, we need a real pass rusher who's always, you know, a few steps away from getting to the quarterback. See, Calvin agrees with me.
Gracie, tell him to go away. He wants to rake leaves.
Calvin does agree with you.
The guy wants to rake leaves.
Very sorry, guys.
So the hounds are on the loose.
Hey, it's Calvin Johnson wanting to put his word in, you know.
Yeah, for our listeners, we named our dog after Calvin Johnson. So.
So there was an article today on ESPN that suggested the Lions – there's no inside information on this. This is a speculation from one of the top writers on ESPN, NFL, Kevin Seifert, if you're aware of the name or not. Anyways, he made a prediction that this offseason the Lions will be – looking to trade Stafford. Can we please stop this kind of nonsense?
It's ridiculous.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
They just want clicks. It's never going to happen. It's just fantasy.
I mean, if there was any – I already read a good article by I believe it was Kyle Menke on MLive, talked about how cost prohibitive it would be to us, and we would be paying him to play on another team and stuff. And after – could we just sign into this mega deal – there's no doubt Stafford had a down year, but at the very least, with all he's done and we know he's capable of, you're going to give him at least one more season to get his head back on right. I mean, we know what Stafford can do, and I'm firmly in the belief, despite his struggles this year, that next year we're going to see the Stafford we know. Because yeah. I know the type of guy he is, and he's not going to have an off season where he's going to allow himself to continue this, you know, streak of, you know, missing passes deep and stuff. He's gonna. I believe he's gonna bust his ass this offseason.
Oh yeah, especially with the new offensive coordinator next year, we're gonna want an experienced quarterback that knows the team well, not some rookie to like test out. Hopefully, a new system next year. I mean,
this needs to be his offense. You know, this is his offense. He's the guy. Like, they should cater to him, whatever he feels he needs. Because
yeah.
Do you think he should be a part of those conversations for, like, a new offensive coordinator?
No.
No?
Not after vouching for Cooter.
Yeah.
Hey, Cooter's still under contract, isn't he? You know, he could come back.
No! Well,
Bob. Bob, do you think Jim Bob Cooter should come back?
Probably not, but just to shake things up. I still think he's a good coach, and I think he'll do well somewhere in the league, but – the writing seems to be on the wall for him. It would be a bold move if they kept him, though. Oh. That would show they actually have a plan. They knew what the hell they were doing. God, no. You know, it's – but
– Wouldn't show they have a plan?
If they kept
him, convinced by that.
Yeah. If they kept him next year, there is going to be a part of me that's going to seriously – would seriously consider not even watching because it's like – oh, you know how I feel about this. Ever since we even used him, I never thought we should have kept him on after his interim year after he took over from Lombardi. I never saw what he really had to offer. And I still think last season was more on Stafford and a super talented core of wide receivers. But anyway, I mean, obviously, if they do by some chance bring him back, I'll hope he figures it out. And maybe you're right. He's a young coach, Bob. Like, I think maybe he just needs some more time to marinate in the league and really kind of understand how to call an offense better. But I don't want to learn. I don't want to really go through that with him on the Lions anymore. So,
yeah, I think next year though is for Quinn. That's his break year. You know, make or break year.
Agreed.
You know, how many years in? He's got his kill of his coach for his second year, and it'll be his players.
Yeah, I know.
And you know,
well, as you know, like I've been on the Quinn wagon for a while, but even I'm starting to get a little more hesitant. Like we got to get results. You know?
And he has a lot of questionable decisions to answer for. I mean, I'm not going to hang, you know, he's not ready to be hung for him yet, but moving on to Tate was very questionable in my book. I still didn't agree with the move. Cause I think it really signaled something to the roster.
Really?
And I mean, well, look, the stat lines kind of tell a crazy story. Stafford went from averaging 279 yards a game with Tate on the team. And I know we were struggling at the time in other ways, but like he went from 279 yards per game to 201 or something like that after Tate. Like you trade away your best receiver and you don't expect it to have an impact on your offense. And that's just naive or ignorant. I don't know.
Well, I still think he had kind of given up on the year when he did that move.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And it puts us in a great position for next year. If he makes all the right moves, we got a lot of draft picks, and we have good cap space. I mean, I think he could actually turn this thing around really fast.
True, and that's why I'm not hanging him for it yet.
Yeah.
And same with, like, moving on from Ebron.
Yeah, we won't know until next year.
Ebron was a questionable one because, I mean, a hodgepodge of tight ends that, you know, nobodies who came in and couldn't do anything, so – Toyolo turned out to be our best one at the end, but that wasn't saying too much. I mean, there's some moves, but like I said, not ready to hang him yet. I think I generally like what he does in the draft and stuff. So
right, and he's made those pickups, like you said, Aquara and Snacks some of those. But then, like some of the moves, like Ebron, I think he's a net positive, but they're losing games now, so. That's kind of a net negative. So I think next year is the telling year.
He hasn't been 100% in the draft. TJ Boer is a major miss.
I think TJ Boer gets one more offseason, one more chance to make this roster. I'm a firm believer in draft picks being judged over a 3-year window. So that was his second year and he had two schemes in 2 years as a young player in the NFL in one of the hardest positions to transition to. So. Like I'm not ready to totally say he's a bust. It's looking that way. It's on the verge, most likely going to be. Yeah. But I'm not ready to do that. We'll find out more next year. And
I think Tabor is going to be done.
Probably
myself.
Maybe. But
he doesn't have that speed to recover. When he makes a wrong move, he's toast.
And that was the knock on him. And that was the knock on him coming out of in the draft process.
But I mean, then when you don't have that speed, you got to know your technique and your scheme really well. And it's his second year learning a whole new scheme. So, I mean, there's no doubt he played like garbage all season. But we'll see.
I keep him on special teams, but I'd be kind of discouraged to see him lining up on the defense.
Well, I think the only way he is
if we're really in a win now.
The only way he is if he has made some extreme leap. I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, I'm not vouching for him to be on the roster in any way, shape, or form, short of him showing extreme performance jumps. So that's all I'm saying. We'll see.
Yeah, And Bob Quinn definitely has had it's been hit or miss for him for sure. But in this offseason, I mean, we've seen through a lot of different organizations in the NFL. One offseason can change the entire complexity of your team. Look at the Bears. Look at the Browns. I mean, there's a multitude of examples
Rams,
of that happening in the NFL. Yeah. Rams, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to get the right coach in there. You got to get and the right personnel. And the part of the Lions, what they're going to have to do is do some convincing with some free agents and get them in there. So expect a lot more expatriates, possibly. The big free agent, we can get more into free agency later in the year here and more later podcasts in the offseason. But Trey Flowers is the name I look at, an ex-Patriot. Or he's a current Patriot, but he's going to be an ex-Patriot looking for a big contract. And I would look for the Lions to try to sign him.
What does he play?
He plays D-end.
Oh, well, that's what we need.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, unless we get it in the draft in the first round, depending on what.
Do we agree Ansa's done, there. Or is that a?
Yes.
I think so. Just yeah. I love Ansa, but same. He just can't stay healthy.
Unless you can get him back. Yeah,
he's too expensive. Back at
$7 million, maybe, yeah. But not. I feel like he's going to get more somewhere else just because of the ceiling that he provides.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw some Bears fans talking about trying to make a run at him.
Part of me is sort of for novelty's sake. Part of me is for moving on from him for novelty's sake because, you know, players like that who just hang around for a long time without much production, I feel like it creates weird energies in locker rooms and stuff. So, I mean, I'm more for some new blood there. I mean, Aquara was a big standout this year, and so I'm really excited about him. And I hope we can manage to re-sign him going forward, but yeah, I think Ziggy's time in Detroit's done.
Yeah, I think we would all agree. So I want to move on to talking about next week a little bit. We drink the blue Kool-Aid as best we can. Obviously, this is an all too familiar position for Lions fans. Week 17, where basically the game is meaningless, and it just comes down to what draft position we'll be at by the end of this game.
Hold on, I'm going to interject because I refuse because you know what this game is? We get a chance to beat the Packers at Lambeau, right?
I'm not doubting that. So, I'm just saying the game's only meaning is what draft position we'll be in.
No, the only meaning is that if we get to beat our division rival who we hate and despise, that's the only meaning I'm finding it. So,
Didn't we just beat them in Lambeau? That's not like a thing we need to –
focus on. I was there.
Yeah, but it's so fun to do, though.
The Lions have beat the Packers two of the last three times in Lambeau in three straight meetings in a row.
I'm psyched.
Yeah, we don't really have anything
about
to prove
proving
to the
it.
Packers
it's about just enjoying beating them.
Well, of course,
anyway,
that's my
focus right now, anyway. That's all I'm
saying. Well, I guess, Rud Dog, to that point, I would say. I wouldn't root against the Lions, but I'm not going to be too bummed if they lose.
Right. There's a nice damned if you do, or not the opposite of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whatever, you know. Good either way, I guess. Yeah,
it's a win-win. Win-win situation.
That's what I was looking for.
No problem.
Oh, but hey, I was looking at so we stand top five right now. We're at the fifth pick, and
fifth
if you look
pick,
at it, if we do lose this next game and somehow the Jets and the 49ers win, we'll have the same record. And I believe since they beat us head-to-head, we would be the third pick in the draft.
Yeah. We can even potentially be the second overall pick.
Could we? I didn't
the Raiders win as well.
Oh.
We don't have any chance at the one.
The Cardinals got that locked
up. Like,
mathematically.
Yeah, that's what the Stafford haters are saying. Hey, we could get a quarterback.
Screw that.
But,
no.
Yeah, I agree.
Not in the first pick.
I would almost rage quit.
No, I like
if
Stafford.
We drafted a quarterback in round one.
Because, I mean,
then
you just diverted your top five pick to a quarterback, and now you have two quarterbacks, and then you didn't fit any of your other positions? That would just be brutal.
No.
Yeah, I agree. But I still believe in Stafford.
Same.
I think
You hear that, Matt? But, we believe in you.
So what do you we'll go into this later in the next show, but or if we got like a really high draft pick, what would you guys favor getting? Or a position or a person?
Pass rusher. That's my primary desire.
Yeah, I would say pass rusher or an elite cornerback.
Yeah, I'm kind of
why I like Greedy, as you've mentioned before. but we can talk about him later.
Greedy is my top pick.
And he'll be playing on January 1st against UCF, who has a good trio of wide receivers. So good, just something to look out for. And Josh Allen will also be playing. That's a favorite of ours in the podcast. January 1st as well against Penn State. Both those games are at the same time, unfortunately. So,
and these guys are actually playing? A lot of guys are sitting out, you know, who are the high draft picks.
As far as I know, they are playing. I have not heard elsewise, but that could change.
Yeah. But, so we could still get Bosa, too, if we end up the two pick.
Maybe. No, but things to look for in this game, like we mentioned at the top of this podcast, Zenner, I personally would like to see more of him. Just it's just fun to watch him run the ball lately. I mean, in a season of a lot of things missing. And I want to see Galladay continuing to dominate the Packers as well. He dominated them at home in Detroit. He made some spectacular plays in that game, and I would love to see more of that as well in this game.
Yeah. I just want to see Aaron Rodgers get hit a lot.
That would be good.
It is.
Yeah, Zach, offensively, I agree. That would probably be my main thing, because this receiver core, aside from Galladay, I don't see too much going forward with these guys that I really want to look at. But
yeah.
They tried to pump the ball to Galladay last week, and
a little bit.
He can't do it. He can't do it alone.
No.
And he did drop one long pass, which he should have.
Are you talking about that one where he had to dive for it? I think Stanford overthrew that just a little bit. I don't know. That one would have been an insane catch if he pulled it off.
I don't know. I thought he should have had that one.
Stanford will be a little more accurate next year. That's my guess.
Stanford overthrew Andy Jones.
He did.
It should have been a touchdown.
But
yes,
Stanford,
he did. But, yeah.
Stafford, there's a little bit of a trend I've noticed with him where he has a ridiculously accurate season where he's just hitting everything and followed by a little bit of a drop-off season. It happened, I don't remember the exact season, but I believe it was the season when he hit Calvin between three Cowboys in the end zone. That year he was hitting everything in these tiny little windows that were just totally improbable passes. And then the next year, all those darts that he threw were missing by an inch, might as well have been a mile. And, you know, he plays on an edge like that. And then last year he was dropping – he finally put touch on his deep ball and was dropping dimes all over the place. And this year,
Rudd Dog,
not so much. So next year we'll see.
Rudd Dog, I was showing you those two throws against the Falcons last year on the two-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has access to it on NFL Game Rewind, I would highly recommend you go back to last year, week three against the Falcons, the last two-minute drive. Everybody knows how it ended, the controversial Golden Tate across the goal line play. But the first two throws in that drive were absolutely incredible, and I don't think anybody else in the league could have made. So if you have the opportunity to go back and watch that, I highly, highly recommend it, because they are two of the most elite throws I've seen out of Stafford or any quarterback in a long time, and they stick him back in my mind.
That is the Stafford we know and love,
yes,
and that I expect to see next year.
Yeah.
He'll be back. I don't think any real Stafford fans.
Yes. One more thing I guess I'm going to be looking for in this game is I want Stafford to be – as healthy as possible by the end of it. Apparently, he's had a lot of back problems, and they said in the press conference he like dropped a water bottle cap and he tried picking it up, and it looked like an 80-year-old man trying to pick up a water bottle.
Yeah, I heard that. But I hope he gets the start. I want to keep his streak going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see how the game goes.
It's incredible. Everybody's called him Glassford the first 2 years of his career, and now he hasn't come off the field since.
Yeah,
he's a tough dude.
Yeah, I know. That's why it feels a little disrespectful, the booing of him after all he's done for this team. But I don't know. Yeah. That kind of hurts.
And one more shout out to Stafford and Kelly Stafford as well. I don't if you guys saw the video that the Lions shared this week. The Staffords have gone out the last couple of years or a few years even to families in need in the Detroit area that. And gave they spent the evening with their families and gave their children a bunch of toys and stuff like that. So it was really cool. It was a good, it was good to see.
It is. And Big Z, to add to that, just because he did that, but he's well known / not really well known to do all these crazy, like philanthropical things and makes a point of not taking credit for it. Like he's, He's known for writing checks with the condition that no one knows that he, no one, you know, spreads that he wrote the check and stuff like that. Like, this dude is a high quality character guy, and I would love to root for a guy like that. So,
yeah. I saw he threw a, he threw a toy football to a little kid, and he overthrew him.
Oh, man.
I love Saffron.
Kicking a man when he's down.
Let the record show.
So...
He was the Walter Payton Man of the Year, or something like that.
The Lions nominee.
Yeah.
Yeah, nominee. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Well deserved. Cheer.
All right, guys. So it's week 17. Last time we'll do this in 2018. The Lions going to Lambeau, playing at noon this Sunday. It's time for our very last, I'm trying not to shed tears, predictions.
Predictions.
So this year we are all 5-10 on our predictions. The same record as the Lions.
That's crazy. I don't that doesn't make any sense.
I know. That's weird.
I'm still trying to figure it out after all these weeks. So Bob, I'm going to start with you as your predictions for this week's game.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game because I think our defense is playing pretty well these days, and our offense isn't putting up points. So the combination of the two would go for a low-scoring game. But I think we'll take the win, screw up our draft pick, and I'd say we're going to win 14-7.
Ooh.
A low-scoring with two rushing touchdowns.
Ooh, okay.
By who? Who has the rushing touchdown?
Zenner and Stafford.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, all right.
All right. Connor.
Well, I believe we have seen the last touchdown of the Jim Bob Cooter era, but I still think the Lions will come out on top.
Oh, boy.
9-6.
Real barn burner.
Packers team that has nothing to play for. It's going to be a brutal one, but we will come
They're
out
gonna
on top.
They're going to keep the excitement going. That the last few games have had.
Yeah.
9-6.
Yeah.
All right, Run Dog.
All right, well, also going low scoring here. I think I think Zenner's going to have a decent day, but overall the offense isn't going to be able to do much, and the defense will keep the Packers to not doing much. And I think Stafford connects with Kenny G on a deep ball touchdown to win the game 7-3 Lions.
Oh, wow. All right. I love the respect for our defense.
Is that going to be a fourth quarter touchdown?
Yes.
A late one?
Yes, late.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go much higher energy scoring in this game. I'm going to go 28-24 Lions. I think that the Packers defense is not all that special by any means, and Stafford knows how to exploit them very well, at least this current coaching staff of the Packers. Like we saw at home last time, I look for Mason Crosby to hit one more field goal upright, just like he did against the Lions in Ford Field. That was incredible. Aaron Rodgers has been playing pretty good lately, so I'll give him some respect in the regards that he'll score a couple touchdowns here. But I look for the Lions to win 28-24.
I want yours.
Last predictions of 2018. Don't try.
I hope yours comes true, Big Z. That'd be a more fun game.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast.
Zach, before you wrap up, what do we have a plan going forward? Are we going to do one more episode for the year? Or are we going to?
Well, okay. So
go beyond.
So for the listeners, next week we're going to have our wrap up episode. So kind of a whole thing on the season. We're gonna do it live in person. If you couldn't tell by our audio, we do these over the phone. So this will be the first time we'll be all in person. We'll do it live. It'll probably be a little longer than our normal podcast. This is a little shorter this week, but it'll be longer. We'll kind of break it down. We'll go over the Lions season as a whole, what we'll do going forward, and then we'll talk about the draft for a little bit. And then we'll talk about our offseason plan then as well. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very excited.
But thank you everybody for listening. We've had a great 2018, except for this watching this Lions season, unfortunately, for the most part. But we really had fun doing this podcast, and we're not done yet. So our wrap up episode next week, our big one, a season finale of sorts, if you will.
Isn't this when the Lions season starts?
That's true.
The Lions season starts when the off season begins. Usually, yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. But for now.
It has been nice seeing our listeners grow as well, grow with us. And
but for now,
excited for the new year.
Want to say Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you're having a good holiday. And as always,
go
Lions.
Go Lions!
16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.